Hey folks, John, welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. Each week, we have about 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how much traffic there is here, bumper to bumper in Washington, D.C. And as I make my way home, it's a great time to talk about things that are like relevant to education, whether you're teaching littles, middles, high schools, all the way up to adult learners. And as an instructional coach, I have a chance to work with people in all different content areas. So the goal is to give each week like a action-packed about 10, 15 minutes. We talk about a thing that you can use as a strategy in your classroom that's practical and like hands-on. So it's not just education theory, but it's like education practice, sort of pocket-sized PD, if you will, because that one-size-fits-all PD doesn't really work. So yeah, that's it. If you like what you're hearing, I would love to hang out and talk with you further. Feel free to message me on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU, or you can visit my website. I'm www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. And it's also the name of my book, which is all about game-changing student engagements inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. So that's that. Let's talk about this. We had about 10 to 15 minutes this week, and it was the Thanksgiving holiday, so I'm recording this now on my drive back from a very long weekend with friends and family, and it was quite lovely. And I'm kicking around ideas for what could be a pretty ambitious new project, and I sort of wanted to get the germs of these ideas out here to kind of ask these questions to listeners and to fellow teachers all over the U.S., and beyond, because I've connected with people in Canada and Mexico, in France and Australia, Germany, and I would love, Turkey, I would love to hear your thoughts about what I'm kind of kicking around here, because this weekend, Thanksgiving, speaking of Turkey, I quite enjoyed time with my family, but the way that it all kind of goes with my family is that once the holiday is over, the Thanksgiving holiday is over, the fun really just gets started. It's funny, we think about all the things we're thankful for on Thursday, but then it goes crazy into like the next plans, the next steps, and all these wonderful things. And a big series of traditions that my family has is that we do a Thanksgiving football game, either on Thanksgiving Day or the day just after it, where my brothers, my dad, and me get together with friends from high school and, you know, just kids from the neighborhood from when we were kids, and we play a game of, let's say, light tackle football. Sometimes it's flag, sometimes it's touch, but there's a big football game. I mean, football and Thanksgiving really go together pretty well, but it's not just watching, it's playing. But this year I took that to a new level because my friend Tim, who's a teacher with me at O'Connell High School here in Arlington, Virginia, my family lives in New Jersey, and he said, hey, you know what, the Packers, who are his team, are playing the Giants, who play pretty close to my family's house, and he's like, I'd love to see that game, would you be interested in going? I'm like, yeah, you bet. So we not only watched football on TV on Thursday and played football as a family on Friday, but we went and saw a live game on Sunday, and I've had a chance to see a few games this season. I saw Patriots, they're my team, I went up to Boston and saw them with a friend of mine who's a priest and a teacher, who I used to work with at O'Connell. And then I had a chance with Tim to go when the Patriots came to Baltimore, watch them get beat by the Ravens, and then down in Washington when they played against the Washington football team. So a lot of busy games. But I'm thinking about games because certainly I use a lot of games and play in my classroom. But I love the idea of live sports because there's really nothing like it. The atmosphere, the pomp, the circumstances, the hype, the hullabaloo, right? There's something about a live sporting event that is really must see. And I want to talk about that because that is fitting into this picture I kind of have in my brain of like three new things to inspire all sorts of stuff in classrooms. And think about the hype and the hullabaloo and not just like the game, but like all of the excitement that surrounds it that really makes it must-see. You know, in an era of streaming services, 24/7 over-the-top stuff that we can just sort of pick and choose and watch at our own pace, very few things are able to command live television audiences anymore, except live sports, because it's that one thing that's like must-see event. And if you watch it on DVR, it's not the same. You know, you're trying to avoid spoilers, but like the hype and the expectation of where were you when XYZ happened. It's the second best thing to actually play in the games yourself. So I think about the hype of live sports as a big I guess one of three pillars here. Something else that we did over the holiday was my family, my mom, we put together on the calendar a look for a trip to New York City, which is not too far from where I live, over the Christmas holiday, because every year we try to get in either Thanksgiving or Christmas and see a Broadway show. My mom is a big fan of live theater, and we've seen all sorts of shows together, both she and I, and then like our family, you know, like everyone else, so we can kind of rally up to go. My mom, when she was in college, studied theater, thought she was going to be an actress. She wound up being a teacher, which is not so different. There's a lot of performance elements to being a teacher, but she worked in video production and direction before she got into it. So she loves the idea of live theater and art for the stage. And so for those reasons, we try to check out, you know, whatever shows we can. She's been an actress on stage in different productions, The Crucible, of The Miracle Worker, back when she was in college. And even now she'll like dabble in local theater and things like that. Again, being on stage, that live, there's really nothing quite like live events. This year my aunt scored a walk-on role in a local production of The Rocky Horror Show. And so my mom was actually an extra, a background actress for Rocky Horror, which is a very, very cool thing to see. But my mom and I have seen shows in New York. We went and saw Hamilton. We saw Dear Evan Hansen, I guess last March, April. We've seen The Lion King. We've seen, you know, all sorts of these Broadway shows that are newer, lesser, you know, known, smaller, less familiar. But I think she saw The Waitress. We loved that. Something Rotten. There's Deb. So anyways, we're going to go see West Side Story, which is coming back, and I'm very excited about that. And for what it's worth, you know, Hamilton tickets and Waitress tickets and, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird tickets or West Side Story tickets, they're not cheap. Amazing in an era of streaming things, right, when you can spend $10 a month and have 24/7 access to every Disney movie ever made. People still spend hundreds of dollars to see these live live shows. And there's something to this, and I want to tap further into it. Because that's now my second point on the line, which is live theater, right? And live sporting events. I'm like, what's going on? And the third wrinkle to this whole thing is when Tim came to visit, he said, hey, I want to give you an early Christmas gift. This is you being me. He's like, because after the football game, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, while we're freezing outside, he's like, I got another thing it's a little bit of a drive, but I think it'll be worth it. And that little bit of a drive took us all the way onto Long Island, to Hempstead, Long Island, Uniondale, I guess, to the Nassau Coliseum, where my favorite band of all time, Phish, was playing live. Tim is a big fan of the band Phish as well. When he was in college, he went and followed the band around, as many a college student does. He's seen them a few dozen times, I want to say 50 plus times, which is pretty insane, right? I'm not quite there, but I have seen them a good number of times. Big venues like Madison Square Garden, outdoor venues like the Meriwether Post Pavilion down here in Washington, D.C., or just north of it. And this was at the Nassau Coliseum, which was a big, long drive. But we went and saw the show and then left the show when it wrapped up at around 11:47 p.m., got in the car and drove back down to Washington, D.C., where we both live. And it was crazy because that's a lot of driving, right? That's like 4 or 5 hours. Plus, you had to fly up that morning to make it all happen. So it was, you know, a lot of moving pieces to this puzzle. But I think about this because the lengths people go to see a live show. When I was home over the Thanksgiving holiday, my mom and I, my dad and I, we've gone to WrestleMania, and I know that we've talked about that on this podcast before, which again, is theater, but it's like theater meets rock concert meets demolition derby, choreographed chaos, right? And this year, WrestleMania will be taking place in Tampa. So my mom and dad are making the trip down. And I think that there's a through line with this, which is in an era of lives, or in an era of streaming, you know, 24/7 access to Disney Plus or Netflix or, you know, Hulu, YouTube, in an era of DVR where everyone is just watching things on demand, the rare outliers are these live performances that are like hype and hullabaloo and sport and spectacle and showstopper. And whether that's Broadway or professional wrestling, whether that's a concert by your favorite band or, you know, a gridiron grudge match where your two favorite teams are squaring off, people in this era of StubHub and Ticketmaster and online flipping of tickets, like, it's a full-time job where people just buy and sell tickets online because
there's still a lot of people who want to pay good money to see things happen live. So I'm thinking about this and teasing it around in my classroom. I tweeted it the other day, but like, what's the through line here? What's the connective tissue that makes sport and showstopper and spectacle kind of all must see events in an era where we can see anything at any time? What is the draw or the appeal to seeing a live performance of either your favorite show or your favorite concert, your favorite band, your favorite venue, or a live performance of, hey, I got to see Tom Brady before he retires, or I got to watch this team who's on the rise because, you know, I can get these tickets and it's worth seeing. I'll drive 4 or 5 hours, or I'll follow this band around in college. And I'm trying to then take my educator hat and tap into that same spirit in the classroom. So if my last, you know, major project was game-changing student engagement inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms, could there be something about the live event spectacle as we talk about performance, specifically performance-based assessments, performance-based learning, performance-based units, where it's not just, hey guys, I'm going to talk at you, and then you're going to give me back what I talked at you in the form of a project instead of a test, but full-blown PBA, PBL, like project-based approach to how the world works, and the world of school at the very center of that, because this era of live must-see, even when things on computers are available 24/7, like I got back in my car today driving back home, the entire Phish concert that I went and saw is already presented in its entirety on Sirius Radio. You can listen to the whole 3+ hour concert right there. They play it in full. And if you have the app, you can go back and listen to today's, you know, broadcast from the Phish radio station, and you can hear the whole thing start to finish like I did when I was there. But there's something about being there, right? There's something about going that extra mile, even in an era where things are like available 24/7. You can go back on the NFL Network and watch the same game that I sat in the freezing cold. So what is it that possesses people to want to go to live events where they'll drive for hours, or they'll spend a lot of money, or they'll sit in the nastiest of weather for the privilege of saying, I was there, I saw it live? How can we capture that same spirit of energy and live performance in our classroom, where it's not on me, the teacher, to be the performer, but quite on the contrary, to create a can't-miss event? You know, in Dave Burgess's book, he says, you know, if you were charging money to your classroom, you know, were you selling tickets, would students pay for a ticket to be a part of your classroom on that day, that live event? And when you see people spending $400, $500, $600, $1,000 on tickets to Hamilton or Andrea Bocelli or someone else, you know, at a very, very high level, you're like, would someone spend $5, $10 on my classroom? And if the answer is no, well, is there something that I could be doing to appeal to them that is tapping into that same spirit of, look, you got to see this? I talked last time in, you know, about theme parks, mud runs, escape rooms. They take your money, and they take your money gleefully while presenting you things that are like stress-inducing or anxiety-inducing. But people pay it willingly because they're like, no, there's something of value here that I'm getting out of it that's unlike anything else. It's a rush. It's a thrill. So there's something we can do to kind of unleash that same passion of performance. When you look at schools like Harvard, which are not a bad school, and Harvard says that, I guess the latest data available is like 2007, but only like 23% of undergraduate classes at Harvard use traditional exams anymore. Everything else has shifted to portfolios, performances, presentations. And I'm looking at that like, okay, that's project-based. That's where we need to go as an education field, because it's that replica of that live event that is unlike anything else that you can do under a time testing scenario. And I'm not saying there isn't a place for time testing. I mean, certainly like the bar, and certainly things like your MCATs, you know, there's a value in the time test, your GREs, SATs, you know, for all the bad things that they do, they are like that pressure cooker scenario where students do need to deliver in a timed amount. But what about that live event? What about that performance? What about that portfolio, that presentation, that you got to see this, you got to be here, you want to be here, because it taps into that passion and that idea of people will travel for miles. People will spend tons of money and sit out in the worst of weather because there's something about that that is very human. And in an era of 24/7 access to the internet, this is a thing that can't be replicated by computers. How do we put that spirit in our classrooms? Whether it's the lights and sound, the music, the energy, the endorphins, the adrenaline. And I have more questions than answers this week, but it's where my brain is, because what can we do to make our classrooms feel more like those live event spectacles, those showstoppers, those sporting events? Because I think if we can tap into that, there's something really, really powerful that we can do as educators to change the game through all of education. That's it for this week. I would love to hear your thoughts. Feel free to tweet at me, @mehanedu. I'll be back next week with more. Thanks again.